This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Ping.fm, and Upsnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Dr. Madeira Show, where he will discuss testosterone optimization and full body health for the high-performance modern man. Now, here's your host, Dr. Madeira.
Hello, everyone. It's Dr. Sam Madeira back here on the Dr. Madeira Show, and today we have a special guest, Jay Campbell. How's it going today, Jay?
It's awesome, Sam. Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show today. I really like the work that you're doing out there. And for those of you that aren't familiar with Jay's work, he's a former champion men's physique competitor and current four-time international best-selling author in the optimized healthcare space. Jay Campbell is a global thought leader on hormones, biohacking, fat loss, and higher consciousness. Jay is a no-nonsense, authentic, and fully transparent guy in a day and age when being hyper-masculine is frowned on, and fearless in the servant mission of leading humanity towards full-spectrum optimization of the body, mind, heart, and soul. Spectacular. I really like I said, I appreciate the work you're doing, and you had me on your podcast, so I wanted to have you a guest on my show so that we can get the word out to more and more men that are, you know, quote unquote, stuck in the matrix, thinking that they have to live a certain way and suffer through it and not being fully optimized, as you say in your introduction of yourself. So basically, I'd like to get into some key basic points for the uninitiated, and then we can get into your new book that's coming out soon and whatever other topics are really exciting that we want to discuss along the optimization framework.
Cool.
So you started looking into testosterone optimization at a younger age than most people probably would think if they're uninitiated into this work, that most men would look into this. I mean, today we're still basically teaching people that you don't have to wait until you're 40 or 50 plus to have, as I say, the wheels fall off the bus and then get on testosterone therapy or other optimization tactics or strategies like peptides. So how old were you when you first looked into this and started testosterone optimization therapy?
Yep. So first off, thanks for having me on your show. I appreciate the opportunity. I'm always obviously highly passionate to talk about this type of stuff. I was 29. I'll give people, because I'm sure there's a lot of people that listen to you that already know my story, but for those that don't, I'll give a 100,000 foot version. I was 29. I was an ex-college and pro basketball player. I had a very small cup of coffee playing overseas in Austria when I was in my early 20s. But I was still playing in competitive men's basketball leagues at 29. I was the salesperson in the business in the world that I was in. I was an advertising salesperson. And I got kicked in the testicles and, went over. Oh, shit, I got kicked in the nuts or whatever. And then about 7, 8, 9 weeks later, I started feeling really, really run down. I went to a PPO doctor because back then in 1999, Sam, we still actually had insurance that was functional. Yep. And my PPO doctor was just, again, just pure run-of-the-mill guy, cool dude. He recommended me to an endocrinologist, and the endocrinologist ran blood tests on me and found out that I had like 227 or some shit like that, super, super low, classic type 2 hypogonadism. And he said, hey, look, man, he said, I can put you on a dose of testosterone, reboot you essentially and get you back to brand sparking new, but, talk to your wife about it. Cause I just literally got engaged, about 3 months before all this stuff happened. And so, I was a smart guy, obviously, and, in my background and playing sports and stuff like that. And I also had, which a lot of people don't know, I had a minor in molecular biology when I was in college, because I was always like a science dork and a nerd. So obviously I had an appreciation of the body and what it did and stuff like that. So anyway, I went home and discussed it with my fiance, who was soon to become my wife, first wife. She's like, what, dude, your body, do it. Let's, see what happens. So anyway, fast forward, started doing testosterone injections. I was taking 160 milligrams, once a week shot. Back then they didn't know about multiple, increasing dosage frequency and stuff, but, he got me back to feeling absolutely amazing, Sam, in about 8 or 9 weeks. And then he was like, oh, okay, well, I can take you off now. And I was like, whoa, 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 I don't want to come off. Right. Like, I feel so unbelievable. Why would I want to come off? So anyway, then I became like very studious of it, very much of a textbook, you know, lab rat nerd. I would be reading PubMed, Medline. Again, this is in the early 2000s, so there wasn't a lot of research out there or even books on the subject matter. So fast forward to about 2011, and, you know, I had risen up the ladder, so to speak, in the corporate advertising world in the digital automotive marketing space. I was like a high level guy at Kelley Blue Book, KBB.com. And every time I would meet people, you know, they would see me and they would, you know, notice that I was very physically impressive. And I would get people ask me, and as you know me, I'm very transparent, very authentic. I'd never tell people lies or bullshit. I would just be like, oh, I use therapeutic testosterone. And so people would look at me and you would either get like, wow, you know, tell me more, or you're on steroids. You know, so it was always right. One of those two things. So, you know, I just got used to whatever. I didn't care what people said. And eventually I got to the point where very, very smart people that were in my inner circle were like, bro, you know more about this than anyone, including doctors. You need to put a book out. So I reached out to Rick Collins, who's like, obviously, you know, who's now a very close personal friend of mine, but world's foremost attorney on, you know, anabolic steroids, drug testing, all that stuff. And I said, hey man, you don't know me from Adam, but if a non-clinical, non-medical licensed person was to put a book out about therapeutic testosterone, you know, what kind of risk would I harbor? And so he got back to me right away, which again, he's such an amazing person because I was a nobody at that time. And he said, you know, dude, truthfully, if one senator got a bug up his ass about you, you know, you could spend a lot of money keeping yourself out of blah, blah, blah. So I was like, okay, cool. I'm shelving this. I'm not going to do it. But thankfully, I had also sent, and by the way, I had written a white paper. The book was not completely done, but it was essentially a white paper. It was probably like 15 to 18 pages. And it was very well done because obviously I know a lot about this. Right. And I had also sent it to Nelson Virgil. And this is back in 2014. And he did not respond because it turned out he was actually in Venezuela, which is his home country, dealing with a bunch of stuff. So out of the blue, like 3 months later, I get an email from him in the middle of the night. He's like, I don't know who you are, but I want to talk to you because this is sensational. So then, you know, I wrote him back and I said, oh, you know what, dude, don't even worry about it. I shelved it because Rick Collins, and he was like, what's your phone number? You know, this is via email. We were Gmailing each other. And so I sent him my phone number, and he texted me. He said, hey, this is Nelson Virgil. Can you talk? And so anyway, fast forward, we talked, and he's like, Jay, he's like, your book is phenomenal. Now, obviously he was talking about the first book I put out, not the Bible, which was the TRT, the definitive TRT manual, which came out in 2015. But he's like, you got to put this out there. He's like, I know Rick is a good man. I know Rick personally too, but you know, he's just acting from an attorney standpoint. The world needs this information. There are a lot of desperate men that you can help. So you're going to put this book out there. And so then again, fast forward, he helped mentor me, you know, as I always say, stepping on the shoulders of giants. And then the book came out in the end of 2015, and it became, you know, obviously a giant international bestseller. It's still like more five-star reviews on Amazon than even the TOT Bible, which, but you know, just to speed up the process, obviously, you know, that catapulted me into, you know, meeting all these famous doctors and, you know, people in the medical community and then researchers and stuff like that. And then subsequently, obviously, I wrote the TOT Bible, which was 3 years later. And it was obviously much more deeper researched. I had help with better, you know, optimization physicians. And then obviously since then I've written books on fasting and, you know, I've become, you know, a biohacker, podcaster, and all the other things. So it obviously was meant to happen. I don't believe there are coincidences. So what happened to me in my late 20s was, you know, had to happen, right? So that I could become this evangelist talking about all this stuff.
Yeah, I like your mindset around that, because I think a lot of people, as we were talking before we hit record today, are stuck in that victim mentality. So they would see a trauma like that to, you know, whether it's their testes or their brain that could cause low testosterone, as like their life never got better again. But for you, you see it as that's when your life took off.
Exactly. So, exactly.
Really good mindset. I mean, I'm constantly working with patients, working on helping them with their mindset. We have a functional medicine health coach that works with them. And so amazing that you're able to work that towards your benefit, and not just your benefit, but the whole community, the world's benefit.
Yeah. And well, let me say something about that, because obviously it's important and it sings to my heart, but you know, that whoever they are that hold us back in society, you know, we can call them whatever we want, but we'll just label them as those who would hold us back. They have engineered a society, as you know, Sam, where the you know 80 to 85% of the people are in what I call victim savior consciousness, right? So to be in victim savior consciousness, what that means is that it's not your fault. You know, you believe that some, you know, something happened to you in your early life or even past lives or whatever that made you a victim. And now it's not your fault. And so you never take personal ownership or accountability. And then the other 15% of people are people like me, people like you, who basically know that everything is our, you know, our issue, right? Like I tell my daughter who's 10 years old right now, and she's literally living in victim consciousness every day. It's like, it's not my fault, blah, blah, blah. And so I constantly sit in front of her, Sam, and I say, Gabby, her name's Gabrielle. I said, Gabby, it's your fault. Doesn't matter what it is. I said, Gabby, it's your fault. I mean, I literally have been doing this. I've been playing an experiment for literally, today's the 12th day. My wife, Monica, left for Iceland last Monday night. And, you know, she, since Monica left, I've been playing this game with her. And I literally have got, it took me 12 days, but finally she woke up this morning and I said, Gabby, what is it? And she said, it's my fault, Dad. Right. And so I had to literally program her for 12 days. So the point of why I'm telling the audience this is that anyone can be deprogrammed to recognize that personal accountability and personal responsibility is a choice. And when you choose to be, you know, to be the person that says, hey, you know what? I own this. My life is my life because of the choices I made. Then, dude, everything changes. But until people choose to take ownership for their life, they're going to sit there and victim. You know, and you're going to deal with them, you know, the type of people that call up and say, hey, can you take my insurance?
Yep.
Right? I mean, that's the people out there who are not willing to be accountable for their life. Because the real person would say, Sam, oh, you don't take insurance? Okay, cool. Well, you're cash pay then, right? And you'd be like, yeah, absolutely. Well, great. I read about you online and you seem to be the best guy. So let's do this. That's the person that takes personal accountability. But the people that are in victim are like, oh, you don't take insurance. That's all I can afford. And so their mind is so limited because they obviously still think that it's not their fault.
Right. Yeah. And I was just listening to, on a similar subject, Jocko has his podcast.
Sure.
People know Jocko. And a caller called into his podcast or emailed in and they said, well, you never talked about how to be disciplined. And, you know, my parents weren't disciplined. And Jocko was like, well, my parents weren't that disciplined either. You know, like we got to take ownership and teach ourselves and get mentors and take the actions and the steps needed to grow and change. And, you know, we're not asking people to function in a vacuum, but,
right.
You know, if you're asking for help, you got to let people help you too. So that's like a whole other level.
It's got to be hard for people like Jocko. And obviously I'm nowhere close to that level of recognition and awareness. And I never will be because again, majority of society is victim. And so it's like, you know, when they call up and, you know, he's big and stuff, and obviously he's like us, you know, he wants to say what he wants to say, but sometimes he can't be as harsh as he wants to be because he'd lose half of his audience.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So you started testosterone optimization at 29.
Yep.
And then you're here today.
I'll be 40, 49, by the way, on Monday.
So 20 years
ago, pretty cool. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. Cause I was sitting around, I think it was last fall with a bunch of buddies and, you know, mutual friends that were watching MMA and, you know, Joe Rogan's the announcer and they're like,
sure.
One of them was like, yeah, Joe's been on the old man testosterone forever. And I was like, what old man, what are you talking about?
Right.
And you know, they weren't all my friends, so I couldn't really get into it with them. And I wasn't there to, you know, teach and preach, but it was interesting and it made me really think about how people still conceive this. And it still blows my mind because I mean, you know, I've been doing this for, you know, been a doctor for almost 8 years, been doing this all but my first year of being a doctor. So
sure.
For people to say like, oh, this is just for old men. I mean, we would have, you know, I've seen videos online on Instagram and social media and stuff of 17-year-olds with low T and, I've seen people in their 20s. I've seen professional athletes. I've seen the most ripped bodybuilder all had low testosterone. And, you know, firemen, policemen, investigators, you know, all your military, all of that. And I think what people think is if like someone looks like, you know, ripped like Wolverine or something, right. They must have optimal testosterone.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, as you know, you know, it's an epidemic, right? And we can talk about that a little bit for the uninitiated, but basically male. And as you know, this isn't just dudes. This is women too. I mean, basically male and female endocrine systems are under siege. And what are they under siege from? Well, from everything, right? The food, the shitty food that you eat, the air that is polluted that you breathe, the water that is contaminated that you drink. I mean, I could go on and on and on. The endocrine disrupting chemicals, you know, the plastics. I mean, it just, every angle, the demons, the dark, those who would hold us back, whatever you want to call it, have created an environment that puts you at high risk. And so in order to avoid, you know, quote unquote, the high risk, you have to be extremely proactive in your life, right? And there's a lot of ways of being proactive, but as you and I know, the deeper and deeper we go down this rabbit hole and the more society evolves into this dark technology, you know, created society, the less likely being naturally proactive is going to work, you know. And I keep saying that to people. And, you know, obviously Dr. Rob Komenaruk, who you're familiar with, you know, in the TOT Bible, you know, we have a chapter in the book in his interview that talked about, okay, let's put this in perspective. Because a lot of people, as you know, Sam, they don't want to use testosterone because they're like, oh, bro, but then I got to use it for life, right? So, okay, so that's fine. Yes, that's true. But let's say you're one of those people that's extremely proactive. And again, Rob classified it this way, and it's very poetic for this podcast. He said, if you're the top 1% and you're anal retentive, you are, you know, militant about being proactive, you prepare all your food, you prepare all your supplements, you know, you're one of those type of people. He's like, you have a 5% chance or less of remaining naturally optimized, again, naturally high or optimized levels of testosterone, and of course, free testosterone and total, up to about 50. So if you're right around, you know, 50 years old, you have a 5% chance. Now, we classified it in the book even further. We went down the ladder. So it's like, okay, between 30 and 40, what are your chances? And he said, probably 10 to 12%. And then, you know, okay, so below 30, and he's like, well, you know, it really depends on the person, but I would say it goes as high as probably 20%. So dude, that was in 2017. Now, as you and I know, right, because the book was published in 2018, but the research and, you know, him and I doing that interview was in 2017. But dude, you and I both know that was literally like 100 years ago, as fast as technology is advancing, right? So what does that really mean now? Well, you know, I just talked to Rob yesterday, and he said, he's like, you know, in my clinical practice right now, I don't see, for every 100 guys that I evaluate, less than one, it doesn't matter their age, can be naturally optimized. So think about that, dude. That's where we are now. So, you know, if you're one of those guys and you're listening to this podcast and you think that you can just live your life by eating clean, drinking green shakes, you know, going to the gym and doing cardio, if you think that's going to keep you optimized, you better think again. You got to get your blood levels measured. You've got to do incredibly proactive things to avoid the contamination, which is, again, all around you. And so as I always say, you know, I don't want to speed up where we're going on this podcast, but I always say, look, the biggest tool in the toolbox is optimized testosterone levels. And obviously there are doctors out there like you who know how to do this. You know, it's garden variety to them. Now, as you know, the average doctor doesn't have a fucking clue. They couldn't optimize a plant. Yeah. Right. So, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, you as the person, the end user, male or female listening to this podcast, you have to choose who can help you. And if you think you're going to just go to a sick care garden variety physician with your benefits, you know, you're going to use a website provider, let me look somebody up who offers testosterone, you're not going to find anybody. And you know this, Sam, and we've talked about this before. The likelihood that they do further harm to you is 90%. Like literally, you could be a guy with 150, right? Free testosterone of 4, and go in and start working with some doctor who has absolutely no idea what he's doing, and then literally will inhibit you further and suppress your LH and your FSH.
Exactly. Yeah. I couldn't have said it better. I mean, it's infuriating the lack of information people have. And, you know, there's a level of brainwashing and I think
the media, talk about that.
The media did a good job of doing that too, of brainwashing people around saying, oh, this is male menopause. That's what andropause is. And it's just, andropause can happen at any age. You know, I've had patients that were fine and then I don't know if they're fine because they didn't come see me before the accident, but you know, they had a trauma where, maybe it was a surgical trauma. There was one case years ago where a guy had MRSA, had to have his testes removed from the scrotum and then, like, quote unquote, reattached. So obviously he's on to, you know, he had MRSA on his scrotum. So that's horrible. And, you know, not common, but at least not common for my clinic, but these things happen. And then, you know, like jet ski injuries or like, you know, sports injuries like you're talking about or head injuries, they're so common.
Right.
Most people never get full treatment for them.
No.
And they walk around thinking, well, I have depression and anxiety and I'm gaining weight because that's just getting old. And I guess I just have to suffer through this. And that's why we have suicide as one of the top causes of death for men under age 40 in the US. And it's even worse in places like the UK because lack of sunlight, alcoholism that is considered commonplace in places like that. So I wanted to kind of like pull out some of these facts around hormone levels that for testosterone that you were kind of alluding to with like the, you know, mock case of somebody with a 150. So right. What do you consider at this time with the level of research and knowledge and all the doctors you talked to over the decades that have led you to an optimized level? What is considered optimized and what is considered, you know, disease levels of testosterone? We can start with total testosterone and then talk.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. Well, actually, you're the first person that I've actually had a chance to share this with. So welcome. Congratulations. I just found this out yesterday. Dude, you might not even know this. Listen to this. A buddy just sent me his lab work from I guess it was LabCorp, but I'm going from memory right now because it's not in front of me right now. But he sent it to me like 2 days ago. He's like, dude, look at the standard mean. And I'm like, I looked at it real quick and bro, they've already lowered it again. It's now not 916 at the top end. It's like 866 or 868.
My God.
And then the lower, you know, the lower quartile was in the 100s, bro.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So you don't know this. Most doctors in the optimization space don't even know this. So now it's literally 100, you know, 70, 180, whatever it is. I think it was 178. So now guys can literally be deaf. So to answer your question, a guy can go to his doctor, his garden variety PCP or HMO doctor, who again, doesn't know jack shit. And test. And again, as you know, most of them don't even know how to test. You know, if a guy walks into those type of doctors and says, hey, I want you to test my testosterone levels, they're so clueless, they don't even know how to do it themselves. They'll usually say, oh, you don't need that. You know, oh, you don't need that. Right. And if they do test, it comes back as like a total testosterone level. And if it comes back and they're 190 or 200, they'll be like, oh, you're fine. when they're literally nearing death. So, you know, and again, because there's so many angles we can go from here, but as you know, the average garden variety doctor, sick care doctor, doesn't know how to read the lab work of testosterone and free testosterone and sex hormone binding globulin and, you know, sensitive estradiol and on and on and on it goes. So they have no understanding or basis of any of this anyway. So they're never going to get into a conversation with an intelligent potential patient, which obviously there's not many of them either, unless they listen to your podcast and read my book. But, you know, as you know, most doctors, especially in the sick care industry, have God complexes, especially the older ones. They know everything. So they're never going to get into a conversation with somebody about something they don't know because they don't want to look bad, right? So they're never even going to have that conversation anyway. Very rarely. So they're going to be like, oh, well, you know, because again, they're going to look at the standard ranges and that's what they go by. And they say, oh, well, it says here you're normal. So then they, you know, the patient not being educated, like for the most part either, just says, okay, like you said, they just put their head down. But then what the doctor will do, and you know this, Sam, and this is disgusting, but this has been going on for decades, is they'll say, oh, well, you know, but doc, I can't get an erection. Or, but doc, you know, I'm depressed. Or, but doc, you know, I have brain fog. Well, I can fix that. And then they write them a script for an SSRI and a script for erectile dysfunction, you know, drug, whatever it is. And then they send them off. And as you and I both know, it makes them worse because we know that SSRIs cause all sorts of feedback inhibition to dopamine and to synaptic pathways and blah, blah, blah. And, it, you know, and again, it just becomes a vicious cycle. And they get worse. And so that's kind of where we are, unfortunately. But, you know, just to go back and circle around and answer your question again, the only thing that really should be truly measured by clinicians that understand this is the free testosterone levels, right? Because there's plenty of people out there that can show, you know, a mid-level four, you know, let's say, I'm laughing right now, Sam, to think of this, right? But 450, we used to be like, oh my God, dude, that's a deficiency. But now it's a mid-level, you know, number based on the bullshit labs.
That's
crazy. So it's like a guy can, yeah, exactly. A guy can show 450 to 550 or you know, 475 to 575. And, you know, the doc can look at him and be like, oh, you're perfectly normal. But the guy feels like shit. And then he's not even, his free testosterone might not even been ordered. So he doesn't even know what his free testosterone level is. But let's face it, if you have a free testosterone level below 10 and a 500 plus on your normal, then obviously as an educated clinician, which again, few of them and few and far between, you know, then it becomes a symptomology diagnosis. You know, do you have the classic symptoms? And obviously there's the Adam test, there's the whatever, the other tests and all that stuff. But I mean, again, you don't even need that. Somebody like you who's been doing this, you know, you just know, you know, the basic symptoms of a deficiency. But again, the average doc doesn't, and the average patient isn't informed. So as you know, we find ourselves in this vicious toxic soup bowl of guys being given SSRIs and ED meds, and then the system, or I'm sorry, the loop just gets worse, and then Right. Their symptomology becomes even worse, and then they don't even know what to do because eventually they just give up, as you said, because they don't think they have low testosterone.
Yeah, it's normal because everybody has it, but normal is a setting on a washing machine, and no one wants to be normal. Well, at least hopefully you don't want to be normal if you're listening to the podcast here today. Yeah. So when I look at total testosterone, free testosterone, and from what I've read most recently too, is that you want at least 700. Some people say 800 plus total, at least, you know, 20 plus, some people say 25 plus free testosterone. What are your thoughts on numbers? Obviously we look at symptoms too in the patient and how they're feeling, but.
I mean, you know, so from an optimization standpoint, I want to see a guy's free testosterone somewhere between 30 and, you know, 30 and higher. Obviously they want to feel good correspondingly. But when I see numbers, whenever I see free testosterone numbers that are down under 15, you know, then it becomes like, okay, well, are you waking up in the morning with morning wood? You know, if not, when do you feel run down in the day? And then do you feel depressed, anxious, moody, sleepy? You know, those are the three things that really matter. Cause as you know, when you have a deficiency, those are the three things that men notice the most. I mean, obviously most men, especially sleeper men, are like, hey man, I don't get an erection anymore. I don't want to fuck my wife in the morning or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So it's like that kind of stuff is like the first really, from an etiology standpoint of like knowing when the guy is suffering. But you know, from an optimization standpoint, and as you know, it is symptomatic. And as I always say in the book, and I learned this from great doctors that I worked with, that, you know, there's really a twofold goal of testosterone optimization. And that, of course, is happiness and balance, right? Balance between estrogen and testosterone, and happiness being like, I feel great. Wow, I want to rock. You know, I'm going to take on the world. And when you don't feel both of those things, then obviously a little bit of tweaking can go on and stuff. But, you know, it's not hard, as you know, Sam. I mean, you know, the game in the industry, even among so-called, you know, clinicians or endocrinologists or urologists that practice prescribing testosterone is, you know, how can I make money? And so, you know, when, let's say, you know, we get beyond what we just talked about, where you go to a PPO doctor who doesn't know jack shit, and your next level is you go to the windmill clinics, right? And the windmill clinics, I call them testosterone windmill clinics. They are basically in business to make money. You know, their SEO marketing, as you know, from the outside is like, oh, I only charge, you know, blank dollars a month. And so then the patient comes in and he's like, you know, okay, cool, man. Look, I've been on testosterone. I know I need testosterone, but you know, my budget's limited and I can only afford blank a month. And so then the doctor's like, oh, cool. Well, we can hook you up. And then, you know, the guy goes in there, he works with like a PA or an MP or whatever. And then he finds that he's going to get charged, you know, in addition to testosterone, he's going to take an AI and he's going to take HCG and he's going to take this, 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 and this. And before you know it, dude, he walks out of there and his bill is like $7.99 a month.
Right. Right?
Yep. And so it becomes this giant circle jerk of doctors attempting to make money because we understand that, you know, they got mortgages and college tuitions and second cars and blah, blah, blah. And then the patient who's uninformed already, and remember, whose real goal initially, and again, remember, this is a guy who's probably at his second or third clinic, was to get testosterone optimized. And he's now moved on to another clinic and another clinic. And now he's on this clinic and it's the same shit, bro. They never started out being optimized, right? It's like, you know, Dr. Keith Nichols and I just did a podcast 2 weeks ago. And he's like, look, dude, he's like, I've been doing this for so long now. And obviously I went through it myself and was whacked into oblivion. And he's like, the reality is like most guys, and this is so interesting, but it's so true. Sam, most guys never become testosterone optimized. Like, think about it. They literally go from one clinic to another and have so many chemicals and drugs going through their endocrine system. How the fuck are they ever going to know what is doing what?
Yeah, it's bad. It's really bad. I mean, these clinics have a lot of money. They usually have multiple clinics. I actually worked at one my second year as a doctor. And I mean, I learned a lot there, and there are things they were doing right, and there are things they were doing wrong. And I started studying more root cause medicine around, okay, I want to still use testosterone. Why aren't we looking at the adrenals and thyroid too? Why aren't we looking at methylation? Why aren't we looking at like detoxifying these people? And it was just, I had one guy one time where, and this clinic was run by a doctor and a non-doctor, and that was part of the issue. I had one guy that he had great testosterone levels because we would always check total and PSA, and then we would check free and total and all the bioavailable stuff after they signed up. And he had like 785 for total testosterone. He was like, well, I don't feel well. And I was like, well, we should look at thyroid, adrenals, what else is going on in your life, you know, sleep. And the owner turned around, took me out of the room and said, you get him on testosterone right now. That's what your job is.
Wow.
And I was like,
that's what your job
is. Like malpractice, you know, like this is malpractice. Like I want to run for the hills. And I did.
But dude, I'm so glad you said that story, because let's be honest, dude. And obviously this is the Sam Madera podcast and you're with Jay Campbell. So that's 95% of the testosterone windmill clinics. That's exactly what they do. They don't give a fuck if the patient ever gets balanced and optimized. They don't.
No, and they won't. I mean, yeah, and they left, and one of the owners who's not a doctor, and it's illegal to own a medical clinic in Washington State where I'm at. I'm up here in Seattle. And he opened a clinic and it was like $99 a month. And this is something that, you know, we've talked about. I've talked with Dr. Michael Moeller about. It's, you know, these are everywhere, all over the country. And I just say, buyer beware.
Exactly.
It is. I mean, everybody on their website, they say everybody gets testosterone,
HCG, and Anastrozole.
It's like, why is everybody getting those things? How do you even know?
Dude, I seriously want to say something so bad, but you're so right, dude. It's such a sham. They literally, it's basically like in the old car business. Now, you know, the optimization, the windmill clinics are doing the same thing. It's loss leader advertising. Mm-hmm. It really is. They like lower, you know, they offer this low ball price point and say, oh, you can get blank, blank, blank. And then the people go there. And then, as you said, they literally walk out of there 2-3 days later with a $799 bill. And they're like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah. They have no idea. It's, yeah, it's interesting. It's definitely interesting. Well, I want to get into some other topics, but basically buyer beware, you know, hire an expert.
Yes.
Contact the people that know people. And, you know, I'm not here to be a referral network, but if you know, people are in Washington State, you want to work with me, or I'm also in Montana. So good options. I have one quick question on the testosterone optimization topic before we switch gears to more other things. When did you decide to switch from injections to creams and why?
Yeah, great question. So officially in 2018 at the in July, I started in 2018 in July. So almost 2 years now. Wow. Mm-hmm. And it was at the behest of Dr. Keith Nichols, who was my physician at the time. He still is technically my doctor, but I'm not getting my scripts from him anymore. I'm working with the people that own the Rocket out here in LA. It was just easier for me to get stuff locally versus having to go see him once a year and everything, because he's in Tennessee. But obviously we still talk and he consults with me, and I talk to him and consult with his patients. And obviously I send him a boatload of patients, but he was like, look, dude, he's like, you know, you can steel inject yourself and be fine. But he's like, you know, you got to recognize that you're going to have a ton of fucking, you know, even with super, super, you know, hypodermic small, you know, gauge needles. And obviously I've been using 28 gauge needles for a long time. you're still going to have scar tissue. And listen, I'm first to admit that, you know, 20 years, not 20 years, but about 17 and a half years, almost 18 years of injecting, I had scar tissue in my upper left shoulder. I had scar tissue in my lower left quad. And again, I see an active release therapy technique, massage therapist, and she's been, you know, really working on me hard. But I've had some imbalances in my shoulder and my left side. And she eventually one day told me, she's like, look, I think you have a lot of scar tissue, you know, from time over time of injecting. So, you know, it's part of the deal. And, you know, she was usually able to get most of it out, but she's like, you know, if you can switch, you know, and start injecting somewhere else. And so then I started thinking about it. I'm like, well, why do I even have to inject when I got, you know, Keith telling me I can just put testosterone cream on my scrotum. And, you know, obviously I've looked at the research. I know that, you know, that it's 8 times more permeable at the base of the scrotum because of the permeability of the scrotal skin and how thin it is. And it's obviously very easily absorbed if you, you know, shave that area, get out of the shower, do it in the morning. And then of course some guys do it at night before they go to bed after their second shower. And I've done that before too, but I've just, you know, gotten to the point where I really only need to do it once. And we're all different, obviously, we're all biochemically unique, but that was, you know, almost 2 years ago. And I swear, dude, I'll never go back. You know, I still inject peptides, like tesamorelin and ipamorelin, mm-hmm. with like 30 gauge needles, whatever I get, you know, insulin off of Newegg or whatever. I think I buy my insulin needles from there. And, you know, those are so small and I can inject into like, you know, lower ab region, belly fat. And I don't really have much belly fat anymore, but like in that area, you know, there's such a small needle, you know, you get away with a lot easier than like a 28 gauge. But truthfully, you know, and I've said this obviously in articles and blogs I've written, the effects are similar when you're optimized, obviously, from between injections and cream. It just with cream, and again, it's subjective, but with cream, I feel you have a little bit better sexual function because of the DHT signal. Right. And, you know, truthfully, if you're a monogamous dude and you're in a long-term relationship, you know, having a more effective DHT signal is probably going to be better than being a guy who's like banging, you know, random chicks. Right. Because obviously, you know, there's all kinds of other biochemical effects going on. So I found that I feel better both from a sexual function standpoint, you know, now with the cream than I did with the injections, but everything else is equal. You know, people ask me all the time, but dude, isn't injections better for building muscle and, you know, remaining lean? And I'm like, nah, dude, it's the same. You know, you're basically the 200 milligram per milliliter Versa base or HRT base. It's basically delivering about the same effect as, let's say, 125 to 175 milligrams a week of test, you know, cypionate or anandate. So, like, I don't think that there's really that big of a noticeable difference. But like I said, and I've said this now numerous times, I'm saying it on your podcast, there's definitely a better psychosexual function or effect or function from the cream. And, you know, I'll give you another example of that. And guys will find this valuable is, like, if you're going to, you know, let's say you're a once-a-day user of transscrotal testosterone. You go away for a weekend with your wife or your girlfriend or whatever, and you want to like get freaky, frisky, whatever, you know, well, you could just apply more, you know what I'm saying? Or a second session or a third session. And it's instantaneous, you know, the crossing of the blood brain barrier and getting into the bloodstream, you know, at that permeability of the scrotum, dude, it works fast. I mean, it is a very, very short half-life, you know, very, very fast effect. And when I travel, you know, and go on exotic vacations with my wife, I like doing it like 3 times a day, you know, and I won't put as much on, but I'll put a little bit on in the morning, a little bit on, you know, go to the pool or wherever we are, come back, you know, put a little bit more on. Maybe we have sex, whatever. I mean, it's just, you definitely will improve or notice improved sexual function with the cream, the way the half-life works versus injections. Now, some guys will get into it with me and be like, yeah, but bro, but if you inject every single day, it's similar, right? And I'm like, yeah, it probably is. But how many guys want to fucking inject every day, dude?
Not many. Probably none after our first week.
Yeah, well, I mean, there are guys out there. I know old school dudes that are in their 50s that have been on testosterone, you know, like me for 20 plus years. And, you know, they take some of the older guys, they still use HCG, which I think is a waste. I mean, I don't get into debating people anymore about HCG. It's another androgen and estrogen spike. Why have two? But then, you know, there's people out there like Dr. Meehan, and there's other guys too that say, oh, but there's LH receptors all over the body and you need to bathe the LH receptors. I mean, I get it. I see people that argue both, but most people that I know who've been doing testosterone a long time, Sam, will say, you know, and again, I mean, long-term users, they'll say, why have two androgen and estrogen spikes when it's difficult to control the one? And if you're already optimized and balanced with one, why add a second? Well, you know, Jay, you're going to feel better if you bathe the LH receptors. Well, I think that's bullshit. Again, my opinion. I'm very, very outspoken about that. I'm not saying you don't need HCG for fertility purposes, because obviously you do. But if you're an older guy, I don't think you need HCG, but ultimately it comes down to the individual end user. We're all different. We're all biochemically unique. Some guys are going to feel good on HCG and some guys won't, you know, it's that simple.
Yeah, that's true. We're all different. And I mean, I prescribe both. So I prescribe the cream, transcortal, and injections, testosterone, cypionate, or enanthate. And I mean, everybody seems to do pretty well with both. It just depends. I do like the idea of the cream though. And I remember early on when I was first getting into this, we weren't seeing like benefits from the cream. And I don't think anybody was doing transcortal.
Exactly, dude.
And if it wasn't strong enough.
That's exactly what it is. I mean, obviously I've said that. I'm glad you brought that up. I've been very outspoken about that too, because I tried when I first started using therapeutic testosterone back in 2000. When I, you know, after he withdrew me from the injections, he's like, I can try you with the cream. And I was putting the cream on my elbows, you know, inner thigh, inner arm, you know, attempting to keep it away from my wife and stuff like that. And I never had the same effects, bro. Never. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, you find out, you know, you learn as you're doing these things that the absorption and the permeability of those skin membranes are not the same as the base of the scrotum. And so, you know, I would definitely argue right now that if you put the cream on anywhere else but the scrotum, it will not be as effective as injections, without a fucking doubt. I mean, I will debate anyone on that. So yes, it took other smart doctors. And then there was one amazing landmark clinical study that showed that scrotal applied or transcrotal applied, you know, testosterone cream at 200 milligrams per milliliter. And you got that right too. Remember in the early parts, people were not having the right dosage. The cream was like Androgel, which is garbage, 8-10 milligrams per milliliter. That's fucking worthless.
Right.
And then there was, you know, even I think there was 50. I think they were compounding 50 and 75 milligram per milliliter. Also not as strong unless you were putting it on 5 times a day. So yeah, so all of these things are obviously learnings over time and awareness, and people, you know, find out more things. But I mean, Keith, you know, truthfully, Sam, he had to really pound on me with scientific evidence to show and prove. And he's like, Jay, just trust me. Cause I was against it. I was like, dude, I've been on injections for 17 years. I feel great. I'm not changing. He's like, I'm telling you, just fucking try it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he I did. And I was like, holy shit. And so I never went back.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's a lot easier too, I think, for a lot of people. A lot of men don't want to inject themselves, or I have a lot of patients that travel for work, or, you know, they're not going to want to take needles with them all the time.
So. No, they don't, dude. And let me just say something about that too. I'm glad you said it. It's really good. This is really a profound podcast about this, because we're bringing a lot of these subjects to light. But, you know, obviously I'm vehemently, and I know you are too, but I'm very much against pellets, because we both know they don't absorb right. You know, the body actually rejects pellets over time. I mean, I could go, you know, go on and on and on, you know, give you a litany of reasons why I don't like them. I know you know this too. I've got a whole count. I tell people all this time, I know you know this because we talked about this, but I literally have a desktop folder full of extrusion and I wouldn't say sepsis, but infections for guys and women who, you know, had the doctor, you know, butcher their incision, right?
Whoa.
Nasty infections, right? So it's like, I know that pellets is mostly garbage, but at the same time, I've come back around and I've said, because I had this, you know, special forces guy reach out to me, and he was very, very, very adamant that he was like, Jay, he's like, obviously I love you. The information you put out is saving people's lives. He's like, but I gotta disagree with you, and here's why. And he explained it. He's like, look, dude, what I do, I'm in harm's way. I cannot, without question, travel with cream or injections. I cannot take needles. I am in a position where nothing can be shown. And so for me, the only option I have is pellets, because I either get some test, and he's like, look, I agree, it doesn't absorb right. Probably, you know, is not going to work as well as injections or cream, but I don't have any options. So then when he said that to me, I realized, you know what, dude, and you know this, Sam, it's about patient adherence. And if that's the only way that guy can get any kind of testosterone in his body, then I'm okay with it. But in most instances, and again, I do realize that patient adherence is the ultimate goal and the ultimate arbiter. I don't like pellets for those reasons. And again, you know why. But if that's the only way you can get testosterone because of your life, then fine. Then, you know, use pellets. But in other situations, if you can, I would choose cream or injections over pellets.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I actually, at that same clinic, one of the reasons why, I'll be transparent here, I've never been fired from a job in my life, but I was butting heads with the new owner and they wanted us to start doing pellet therapy. And I basically was saying, I'm not ever doing pellet therapy. I'm going to do creams and injections and stick with injections. This is 2014. And they basically, the guy was such a coward that he couldn't even fire me himself. So, you know, obviously he didn't optimize his hormones, but he couldn't bring himself to confront me. So he used the general manager and, you know, they like fired me on like a Tuesday or something. I don't remember the day of the week. And I had already finished all of my work for the day by lunch. And I was starting to work on these huge projects for them and researching tons of stuff to start a whole IV department. And, you know, they basically were like, you're done because we don't like you. But they couldn't find a reason. They had never told me why until later.
Well, good for you, bro, that you stood up to him, because I mean, again, it is a debacle, and let's be honest. I mean, the only reason that docs do it is because it's a huge, you know, it's a cash cow. I mean, that's another thing, right? Let's be honest. I mean, it's a scam. It's a fucking scam. I mean, they charge so much. It's absurd. It's literally absurd. I mean, if somebody actually, and, you know, I'm not saying that I will, but maybe I will. If somebody actually went out there and compared the cost of 90 days worth of pellets, right, versus 90 days worth of cream and injectables, people would be like, what the fuck is going on here?
I can get people, let's say we're doing 200 milligrams per milliliter injection of testosterone. I mean, I can get it for less than $22.
Exactly.
Five mil vial. And exactly. I don't upcharge on testosterone. I charge for my services for my brain. So I'm not trying to make money off of any compound. You can't. I mean, it's the pharmacy is selling that product to the patient. Right. And then, you know, I use Empower Pharmacy and some other compounding pharmacies locally.
Sure.
Creams, and it's so affordable. I mean, it's like $90 for 90 days.
Exactly, dude. And then you compare that to literally pellet insertions. And dude, let's be honest. It's literally between 6 and 9 times that cost. 6 and 9 times, depending on the clinic.
Yeah. I mean, I think this goes back to a bigger issue of in medicine in the United States and other countries too, but we're in the US, so we'll talk about the US, is that we as physicians traditionally in the allopathic conventional model get paid more by procedures. So that's why specialists like brain surgeons get paid more than your general practitioner.
And exactly.
So anybody that can do a procedure, whether it be a pellet therapy, you know, I train people how to inject themselves. We counsel them, and the compounding pharmacist counsels them on how to use the medications or the compound medications. But, you know, I'm not trying to make money off of a procedure. We're trying to get people optimized so that they can be the best version of themselves, whatever that looks like for them. So it's a lot different than, okay, well, I do pellet therapy. You have low testosterone. We checked your free and total and probably didn't even check their estradiol or DHT or ultra-sensitive estradiol. And here you go. We're going to insert a pellet. And I had a patient come in last fall and it crashed their whole endocrine system. Like, whole endocrine system crashed. And they were about a month out from the date where they would get reinserted. And then I ordered the labs from the other clinic, and it was like a women's clinic. And so there are just so many things wrong with the whole pellet thing. And I think the issue is that, first of all, we're not paying doctors that know enough to help people, because then general practitioners in this medical system would actually have more time with patients and be trained on how to get people well and have health coaches in hospitals and things like that. But the bigger issue is that we're in a system that really values procedures. You know, surgeries, injections of cortisone, all these things. So that's like why this has trickled down into hormone optimization, where now I have colleagues and friends that are doing pellet therapy to pay their bills. And I won't do it. I've had them come to my clinic. I've had the people come to my clinic and say, you know, we want you to do pellet therapy, the reps, the sales reps, and I just refuse to do it. So
yeah, well, good for you, man. I mean, that's got to be the way it goes, you know. I mean, again, obviously people can choose in their life to be, you know, empowered and sovereign in their consciousness, or they can be victims. And, you know, people that are victims are going to choose to be led by saviors, as I always say, right? The guru, the guru is the person that saves the people and victim, because, you know, when they finally pull themselves up by their bootstraps, they got to emulate their guru. Because remember, they can never take power for themselves, bro. It's always somebody else. It's somebody right. else's fault. And then when they do wake up somewhat, it's the guru is going to teach me. I'm going to follow what the guru says.
Right. Yeah. And that's, I mean, we've all been, not all of us, but a lot of most people have been conditioned that way forever. And it's really, hard for people to break out of that matrix shell and just say, okay, wow, I'm willing to do something different. I'm willing to try different things. I trust you, you know, and obviously I'm not expecting somebody to meet me for one visit and say that they trust me, but you know, it's really hard to help people if they don't want your help, but at the same time, they say they want your help. So
right.
I don't like to do that dance because it's exhausting, and I want to spend time with the people in my life that actually care and, you know, value my time and attention,
exactly.
whether that's family or friends. But if it's going to be a patient, it's like, let's not dance. Let's get down to work. Let's get things done. Let's get you results. Let's go.
Exactly.
So I want to move on. We've talked about the testosterone optimization. We could probably talk for hours and days about that. So I have a red light in my home, and I know that you've been using Juve for a while now, and I've talked to the Juve reps, and they say that there's some research, and I've seen some of the research, but I haven't seen enough to convince me that it actually would increase testosterone levels alone in a mostly healthy male. So we're talking about the upper 5% who are cooking all their meals, they're going to the sauna, you know, they're doing all the things.
Bro, I'll just tell you right now, it's a scam. I mean,
yeah.
You know, is it going to increase your testosterone? Your intertesticular testosterone levels, not total test, just your intertesticular. If you put your balls, you know, up against the red light therapy, yes, probably. But is it anything noticeable beyond a transient elevation? Absolutely not. And again, that's what all the research shows. I mean, you know, me and Ben Greenfield actually were joking about that. I was talking to him when I met him in person for the first time the other day. And I was like, Ben, are you still putting your nuts up against your Juve? Because, you know, him and I are both obviously paid models, or not models, but spokespeople for them as affiliate marketers. And, you know, I love their technology. My wife uses it every day. I'll talk a little bit about it in a second. But no, I'm going to put that out there right now. There is nothing on the planet save for a optimized therapeutic dose of bioidentical, you know, I hate using that gay word, but you know, people think that testosterone is not bioidentical, right? But it's like you cannot optimize your testosterone levels in this matrix of disease, which I coined that from you, because I love that, this matrix of disease and this contaminated environment, unless you use some form of therapeutic testosterone. I will debate anyone. Sure, there are, you know, herbal, you know, things found in nature that do increase libido, like Tongkat Ali, and there's other obviously aphrodisiac herbs that can be found. But as of now, there's nothing on this planet that is going to optimize a person's testosterone levels. And I would actually argue even further that, knowing what we now know with this totally contaminated environment, even if there was something found in nature that would help, you know, improve, because we're so faced with this enslavement, again, from technology, blue light, from EDCs, from the air, from the contaminated food and water, dude, the only thing, and again, I said earlier in the podcast, the biggest tool in the tool belt is therapeutic testosterone.
Right.
So outside of that, nothing is going to get a person to where they feel amazing. Sure, you could argue there's some things out there, and again, Juve is not one, but there, you know, red light is not one, but there are some probably aphrodisiacs found in the wilds of Australia or the Amazon or something that could probably increase you from what, 250 to 350 or 275 to 400. But dude,
yeah.
Is that going to do shit in the bottom, in the big picture? No.
Right. I agree. And I have case studies with before and after labs, and I'm an herbalist. My undergrad training is in herbal medicine, Western medical herbal medicine. And where I've done before and after with like high dose ashwagandha, Korean ginseng, like the best extracts, 1-to-1 liquid alcohol extracts. And I love herbs, and this one person didn't do much with their lifestyle and they were traveling all over the world, 55 point increase on their total testosterone. And it was like, oh, now you're on testosterone therapy. Let's not mess around for any more time. And that was a 3-month treatment trial. So I definitely agree with that. Well, that's good to hear about the red light therapy. What I have seen for myself when I do use it is that it really helps with seasonal affective disorder. So I'm in Seattle, obviously. So we have that. We just have today, this is the sunniest week we've had in 80 days. So we've been living in literal fog for 80 days up here, February 2020. And I noticed that it helps with the sleep-wake cycle. So if, you know, someone has jet lag or their, you know, sleep is getting really off, it can just really help with getting that red light and help with deeper sleep. So that's what I noticed for myself so far. How about what you mentioned that your wife is using it a lot and you're using it, obviously. What are the things that you've actually noticed it's good for?
So yeah, it's a great question. So again, hot off the presses, new stuff. Obviously, you know, my supplement company is Acera Custom, and my business partner, who, you know, Nick Andrews and I, you know, sell copper peptide GHKCU, which is again, a revolutionary transformative, cosmeceutical peptide skincare cream that can be used for anything, sunburns, hair regrowth, although it's not as strong as it is with when you combine it with C60, and we can talk more about that. It's absolutely revolutionary in its ability to regrow hair. And that's going to change a lot of things. But you know, for the most part, you put it on your skin, it does all sorts of things to establish, like, you know, elasticity, a youthful fullness. It, you know, remodels collagen, improves DNA repair and synthesis. So there's a lot of things that it does. But as I was saying, like, if you use red light therapy in combination with GHKCU, and my wife has her own protocol, which I wrote about in my email yesterday, if you're on my list. And it basically is, she puts on the serum, which again, we sell both of these, but she puts on the serum first. And then she does, like, between, you know, how much time she has in her day, between 4 to 6 minutes of red light on her face and neck, and then waits after about, you know, between 60 and 90 seconds, and then puts the cream on, which is kind of like a finisher. And she's been doing that for like 2.5 months, dude. And, you know, my wife's, you know, almost as old as me too. I mean, she's 48, and her skin looks like she has, you know, like she's 24, you know? So it's like that, the stuff is rad, but, you know, to really answer your question, I mean, obviously what red light is really doing is improving and upregulating mitochondrial density throughout the body, right? Most people that listen to your show probably know that the mitochondria are the energy storehouses. And so if you can upregulate mitochondrial sensitivity and density, then clearly you're going to have better energy production. You're going to sleep better. You're going to have a lot more, you know, if you're fasting, you're going to, your autophagy and your senescence and your hormesis is going to be a lot more effective. But, you know, at the end of the day, dude, like, this is what I say, like, if you're already an optimized person, and again, not many people are, but if you are, red light, you're not going to feel or notice anything pronounced from red light therapy versus a person who is not optimized, who will definitely notice a better, you know, sense of energy from doing regular 10 to 20 minute sessions a day. Because again, what it's doing at a molecular level is it's upregulating your cell's ability to produce mitochondria. So mitochondria obviously are the energy powerhouses and storehouses. So you will feel more energy. I always say this, like, the older you are, if you're less optimized, you know, using carbon 60, using red light therapy, doing them in combination, you're going to feel more energy and you're going to sleep better. And again, it's just, you know, common sense. But if you're somebody like me or you, and you're already pretty optimized and you use red light therapy, you know, again, outside of the things that Monica's doing with, like, combining it with like GHKCU or something like that, I don't know if you're going to notice anything. Not to say that it's not doing beneficial things, because obviously it does do a lot of cool things, but I don't think it's going to be pronounced. You're not going to be like a guy is like saying, oh, wow, man, it makes my sleep better. When I first started using it, and again, you know, full disclosure, I have the $11,000, you know, Juve full body, right? It's epic. Yep. And dude, my sex was amazing. I mean, like, Monica and I would, like, do it together. You know, she'd, like, you know, because we have the full body one, so I can stand to the side, she can stand to the side. We both get red light. We jump in bed, bang, right? And it was amazing. And I was like, whoa. But that lasted literally about a month, you know, at twice a month, you know, twice a week doing red light, because we're so busy. We don't have that much time. And it was usually on the weekends. But, you know, it faded like anything else. So it's like now she still uses it because of her skincare, you know, stuff. Dude, she's been gone in Iceland for the last 11 days and I've done 2 sessions. You know, not to say that it won't work if I was doing it, but I just, it's not that pronounced for me that I'm like, I'm going to do red light every single day. Not saying it won't work. And there's a lot of things, obviously, you can, you know, I have the book, the Ori Witten book that I've read, you know, backwards and forwards like 2 years ago on red light therapy and all the different things it does. And it does do a lot of things. It's just, in my opinion, it's not going to be that pronounced the more optimized you are.
That makes sense to me. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a really good highlight. And I'm going to check out the email you sent. I know you just talked about that doing a Facebook Live in your Facebook group. And so I'm really excited about that peptide combination. And I think that's a good segue into peptides.
Sure.
So for the peptides you just mentioned for hair growth, hair loss is huge for men and women. Most men who are really concerned about it, they may already be on testosterone optimization therapy and be getting some hair loss because their genetics are being pushed that way.
Yep.
Or they already had a lot of hair loss to begin with. And I do like PRP hair injections and have people using peptides from like TaylorMade in combination with that. What are your favorite peptides for hair loss for men and women? And then we can get into maybe some other ones for...
Yeah, so for sure. So all of those things, you just mentioned them. So they work. And then again, GHKCU cream or serum applied topically also works. But again, those peptides are TaylorMade, and I can't speak of them off the top of my head. You know, also they work, but dude, this week, it was 2 weeks ago now, but this week is when I started writing about it. I had a guy reach out to me. He's a biohacker. He's actually up by you. He's in Portland. And he's a big follower of my work and stuff. And he listened to a podcast that I did with with Nick on peptides. And Nick openly speculated, this is probably last summer, that using GHKCU in combination with carbon 60, so C60, would potentially do massive things at a follicular level in hair follicles due to, again, both of their abilities to suppress ROS and to upregulate mitochondria. So he was like, interesting. And he had already been using GHKCU cream from TaylorMade, not our product, but TaylorMade's product, and, you know, got a little bit of hair regrowth over 5 months. But then, dude, he heard our podcast and he said, you know what, fuck it, I'm just going to test this myself. And so he just made a crude, you know, rudimentary potion of the TaylorMade stuff and C60 from whatever one of the C60 guys. And dude, he sends me a picture. I wish we were doing this on video so that I could share the screen so people could see this, but he sends me a picture of 5 weeks of the usage of the combination product versus him doing it for 5 months with GHK by itself. And bro, it's fucking game changing. Like,
so where can we get this carbon 60?
Well, trust me, you'll get it. Cause like we're literally, yeah. So let me I'll keep going and I'll give you the whole story so everybody knows, but
great.
Put it this way. This guy was trying to, so again, he didn't even realize it until about 3 weeks in because he lives by himself and you know, he couldn't tell cause it's on top of his head. But eventually somebody at his office said, dude, did you get a fucking hair transplant? And he's like, what do you mean? He's like, have you looked at the top of your hair? You don't have any openings anymore. And so then the guy was like, what? And so he's like, he ran into the bathroom at his work and he was like, holy fuck. And so then he's like, I don't want to blow up yet because maybe it's just like, you know, something's happening and blah, blah, blah. Maybe I'm just like overreacting. So he went 2 more weeks and then he was like, holy shit. He had people take top pictures of the top of his head. And that's when he reached out to me because he was like, I got to be honest. I want to let you know, you're the reason that I started doing this. You and Nick were openly speculating. And then he heard a podcast in the end of November with Ben Greenfield and the guy, the C60 guy, Ian, whatever his last name is, Miller, I think. And Ian's openly speculated too. He's like, you know, I'm not going to make it. And Ben was joking with him. He's like, well, fuck, dude, if you made it, you'd be a billionaire. And Ben, and they were both joking back and forth. So he was like, holy shit, here's another C60, carbon 60 specialist talking about it. So I'm going to do a little bit more of the C60. And then that's when he got like massive regrowth. I mean, bro, the guy's hair, he went from being basically 40% bald to having like, you know, 18 years old thick hair. It's insane.
That's
so
awesome.
Anyway, he reached out to me again, like I said, last week. And he was like, look, dude, I'm a biohacker myself. This is what you need to do. You need to talk to Nick. You need to reach out to, you know, Chris Burris, the owner of ESS60, who's the guy that's a patent holder for all the C60 on the planet. And he's like, you guys need to create a formulation immediately and you'll change the whole world. Like, seriously, he's like, I'm telling you, this is what you need to do. You need to put an activator in. You need to, you know, make it a foam, you know, it has to be a foam applicator. He's giving us all this stuff. So anyway, fast forward, you know, Nick and I, and Nick was like, yeah, dude, I told you, right? So me and Nick had a meeting with Chris last week, and you know, I showed Chris the picture, and his fucking formulator had a meltdown too. And Chris, you know, Chris doesn't, because Chris is selling the product to so many different people, because again, C60, bro, it does a lot of things. I mean, it fucking revitalizes animals, dude. You give C60 to your cat or dog, if they're like 12, 13 years old, long in the tooth, it'll completely revitalize them. It recharges their fucking telomeres and their DNA, dude. It's insane.
Amazing.
So, but here's the thing. We don't know that much about it. There's not a lot of studies other than what's done in animals. I mean, obviously they know there's that one famous rat study where it literally showed 1,000% increase in free oxygen radical suppression. So again, that's what their claim is. Now they say it's, you know, 1,000 times more stronger than vitamin C, because, you know, in vivo, it technically is, again, with animals and rats. But anyway, I've been using C60 for a year. Monica's been using C60 for a year. Our dog and both of our dogs use it. Our kids take a tiny little bit of it. It does unbelievable shit. But now we know that in combination with GHKCU, bro, it completely regrows hair. So the bottom line is that Chris is like excited, but you know, again, as the world's number one supplier of C60, he's got so many different people that he works with and he doesn't know jack shit about the hair loss industry.
Right.
So he's like, look, dude, we'll just relicense it to you. We'll figure out a split. You guys can go and do whatever you want with it. So again, nobody knows about this. It's kind of top secret. I'm kind of revealing this right now. We then went to the people that I'm involved with as an affiliate for hair restoration, which is Vantis down here in Newport Beach. And dude, they had a fucking meltdown. They're basically like, holy shit, we want to be the exclusive providers. We'll pay you guys whatever. We'll pay for the patents. We'll do, you know, so it's like, all kinds of stuff is like blowing up, and this has all happened literally. It's like perfect timing, but it's all happened in the last week. So we're essentially right now racing to get this to the market to apply for a patent. And again, we may just throw away 25, 30 grand because somebody may have already been applied. And you know, the way the patent process works is that's also a scam. You have no idea until you get to the end.
That's ridiculous.
And if you get to the end and they say, oh, well, we're sorry, somebody beat you by a day or a week, you know, or right, 8 hours, your money's gone and you have no patent. So anyway, the bottom line is here's the thing. And I could talk all day on this because obviously I've spent a whole last 4 days of my life researching all this. The reality of this, Sam, and you know this, is that when the FDA and the DEA finds out about this, dude, they're going to want to muscle in because they're going to see this and they're going to be like, holy fuck. Because the reality is, and here's the numbers, and I know this is statistically fact. The hair restoration market in just the USA alone is $11.3 billion a year. 33 million men and 21 million women suffer from hair loss in America. So it is such a massive marketplace. I mean, it pales in comparison to anything else, like even sick care, like it's right up there with pharmaceuticals, bro.
Right.
So you can only imagine that when they start seeing this, and we're going to literally be in, you know, I mean, obviously, because it's not a medical product, so I can't say phase 1 clinical trials, but we're basically going to be doing a clinical trial with 10 people, 5 guys, 5 girls, and we're going to go probably 10 weeks, you know, to show this. But dude, when this stuff comes out there and they see this, we already know they're going to come after us.
Right.
Because right now, C60 and GHKCU, and I don't think there'll be a risk with GHKCU, the copper peptide, because they just say whatever. You know, you can't put it in a, you can only get it up to a 3%. That's the max, right? So they, mm-hmm. at that level, they just say it's over the counter, fine, you know, loophole, blah, blah, blah. But with C60, they just think it's like some sort of meteorite, you know, supplement. I mean, seriously, bro, like you have no idea, like that right now that they're so hands off with C60. I mean, you got to be very clear when you market it online, you know, that it's not a drug or it's not a medical product. And you got to be obviously very careful and scrutinize the wording that you use. But I'm just going to tell you this. When they see this, bro, they're going to be like, uh-oh. So it's like I already told Nick, like, we have a small window of opportunity to really help a lot of people before the FDA or the DEA comes and regulates this. Because trust me, dude, there's nothing like this. There's not a single product in the marketplace that can regrow hair like this thing can.
Yeah,
and here's another, well, here's another funny thing for you. So, and again, this is top secret, so you're getting this. When we went to IPS, which is, you know, the International Peptide Society Conference in August, were you there, by the way?
I wanted to be there. I think I was on my way to Montana.
Okay, cool. Well, so obviously the next one's in July, so hopefully I'll see you there. But anyway, we were there. Nick was there. I was there. And Seeds was talking. And obviously Seeds and I are friends. And Nick raised his hand. And at that point, nobody knew who Nick was. He was just my business partner. But he's like one of the smartest biochemists in the whole world. I mean, literally, he's a genius beyond all recognition. And he was like, hey, guys, you know, he asked him. And, you know, there's probably like 400 or 500 clinicians in there. And we were in, where were we? We were in St. Petersburg, Florida. And he's like, why is nobody thinking about applying, you know, blah, blah, blah to C60? Because if you look at the ROS capacity of C60, and then, you know, he speaks his science lingo and goes deeper, and they just poo-pooed him. Immediately, Seed shot him down to a couple other clinicians that were up closer to him. They're like, nah, it's nothing there. No human trials, blah, 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 blah. And so he just shot him down. So he was like, he just looked at me. He's like, dude, fucking these guys in medicine, dude, they just don't get it. So it's just, you know, I laughed because I was like, well, I didn't know anything about it at the time either. But so, dude, fast forward to now. And I'm telling you, like I said, Sam, I'll email you the picture. But, dude, you got to see this. I mean, this is.
Yeah, send it over. I'd love to see it.
Astonishing. It's astonishing. I mean, every person that's seen it has literally done a double take. They're like, that's fake.
Do we have an idea like what a price point would be for like a phone?
So bro, it's going to be cheap. It's going to be cheap. I mean, again, I know this, like it's 50, you know, the average hair transplant for men is 50 grand. You know, what I did, which is Vantis, which is obviously the follicle VFR of, Vantis follicular replacement. That's their patent technology, which is essentially a dye. So it's sort of like a tattoo. And then they also kind of replace some of the follicles. Mm-hmm. But you know, and it looks great. Right. But for, you know, for a guy that's like kind of bald, but with this stuff on top of their technology, you'll just totally regrow hair and they already know it. So it's, dude, it's pretty unbelievable. And again, it works for anyone. It works for men and women. So essentially it'll be like a leave-in conditioner. And again, there'll be different levels, but you know, to answer your question, bro, on the commercial side. So and again, everything is very fluid right now, but we may sell this, direct from our site, which is acercustom.com, or we may just decide to white label it, you know, so essentially white label to the high-end commercial people in hair restoration. But I've already spoken to them, and without letting the cat out of the bag, anyone will be able to afford this and regrow their hair.
Good to know. That's good to know because I mean, PRP is like,
oh, bro, PRP is a joke compared to this. Like
$500 per injection, and
yeah, but
I've
dude,
had
honestly,
one.
Like you can't even believe like that. I've already had conversations with Vantis about PRP because they do it in comparison to this, and
right.
You know, obviously they're already looking at the mechanism of action. They've already started doing some stuff, and they're like, this is literally like 10 to 15 times more effective than PRP.
Great. That's great.
I mean, dude, honestly, this is probably the first thing outside of a hair transplant that actually regrows hair. And I mean, significantly regrows
hair. Will be available before the end of the year?
It should be available. And again, don't quote me on this, but it should be. We're literally in the process right now. And hopefully by middle of next week, the trials will start. But I would assume that we will have a product in people's hands by the end of July at the latest.
Excellent.
But I'll just tell people this right now. You could absolutely make your own brew. Again, GHKCU 3%. You can get it from us, Acer Custom. Get the serum because it's much thinner. Acer, A-S-E-I-R, custom.com. And just buy, again, a quality supplier of C60. The problem is there's a lot of scam artists selling C60. And a lot of it is fake. So you got to make sure that the C60 that you have is legit. But if you do, and you know that it is, and you can get it obviously from My Vital C, which is ESS60s, which is, you know, I rep those guys. So, I mean, I'll just throw out my link. It's myvitalc.com/JAY. You can get it from them. And they sell a really, really good deal. It, you know, you have to get on their drop shipping program, but it's like 25% off when you're on their drop shipping. And again, C60, everyone should be using C60. I don't care what kind of physical condition you're in. It's amazing stuff. But if you just get that, then you want to take, and again, Nick has the formulation on it, but you want to take, like, depending on your level of hair loss, you want to take enough of the GHKCU serum to saturate your head. And then maybe like a little tiny, and again, I don't know what the drop, if you had a dropper, it would be more precise, but literally just enough of the C60. And most of it will either be in avocado oil or MCT oil. And they do, I think some of them make them in olive oil. You want to just saturate your head. Now, mm-hmm. Nick says that the best time to do it would be post shower at night. Dry your hair and then apply it before you go to bed. And then, you know, when you wake up in the morning, if you do cardio or train or whatever, before you take a shower, you know, just let it just naturally, just like, you know, kind of take your hands and rub it through your hair a little bit. So you get a little bit of that follicle stimulation so that the absorption is better. But when our product comes out, again, that's a very crude form, but it just still should work. But when our product comes out, we'll have an activator so that it'll improve blood flow to the scalp. And then there'll be some other things like there'll be a solvent to improve absorption.
Excellent.
So, it's a total game changer, and we know that it is, but we also know that, you know, the demons will want to get their, you know, they'll want to get their, you know, their nails and claws into it as soon as they can.
Always. Yeah. That's how they roll.
Yeah,
that's what they do. Well, I know you have to go relatively soon. I did want to get into more peptides. Do you have more time to?
Yeah, we can talk. We absolutely can talk. I got about 15 minutes.
Roger that. Okay, cool. Well, what I guess in general, if somebody came to you and they said, well, you know, I'm working at this tech company in Seattle. I got to use my brain all day. And by the end of the day, I'm tired. Let's say they're already getting on testosterone. They're getting that optimized. What kind of peptides would you want to look at for their metabolism, for body composition, brain health? And we can kind of go down the line, but what would you think would be some of these top things that they should look into and talk to a doctor like myself or another doctor that does similar work to me?
So it's a good question. I really honestly think this very, very truthfully when I say this, that no one should even remotely consider using peptides until they're optimized hormonally first. Because as you know, being hormonally optimized with testosterone and thyroid will do a lot of amazing things. And you definitely want to be on that path first. But if you are or are on the path or that, you know, you're working with a doctor that will get you there, you know, I personally think the two best peptides for men and realistically really for women too are Ipamorelin and Tesamorelin. And Ipamorelin, now I've been using Ipamorelin before anybody even knew what it was since 2006. There was a company in Texas called Southern Research Chemicals or Southern Research Company, I think they were called. And they were literally, I won't get into the details, but they were literally a compound pharmacy, but they were like the back office of a compounding pharmacy selling research chemical companies. So, you know, they got around the loophole back then. And obviously nobody even knew what a research chemical was back then, but they were selling it. It was, you know, as always, not for human consumption. But it was like the highest quality Ipamorelin. And bro, like my good friend who was a bodybuilder, you know, told me about it back then and said, dude, use this stuff. It's the most unbelievable thing you could ever imagine. It literally has a similar effect of growth hormone, but it doesn't shut down endogenous production. And it also has no side effects. There's no concomitant increase of cortisol, prolactin, or anything else, right? Which obviously when you use growth hormone analogs, GnRH or even GH releasing, you usually have side effects, right? Like all the original peptides like GHRP2, 6, and all those other things, they have so many bad side effects. They do increase GH and IGF-1 tremendously, but they also have a lot of side effects. So Ipamorelin was like the first one that they discovered that has absolutely no side effects and it does not shut down natural production. So anyway, fast forward, I started using it and I radically got leaner in my midsection. And I felt amazing. Right. So, you know, I used that for a long time. And then I got my wife on it when we first met back in 2012 and it also changed her body composition. So Ipamorelin is definitely the first level because it, you know, has no really side, there's no systemic side effects. Potentially it doesn't shut down natural production. It will improve sleep. It will improve skin elasticity. It definitely will lower body fat, obviously visceral fat, especially, And it will, you know, for sure, if in combination with testosterone and optimized thyroid, you'll definitely have a little bit of a synergy again because of that growth hormone increase in anabolic action or anabolism. So it does so many other things. The other peptide that I would mention, obviously, which I'm a big proponent of, is tesamorelin. But in mentioning tesamorelin, we also have to recognize that it's going to be gone soon. And the only way, again, the demons are shutting that down, although there's like an argument going on in the group today about how it may make it through because of, you know, some weird wording and classifications. But as far as I understand it right now, at the end of March, tesamorelin's gone. So unless you want to use a research chemical company, you know, that's the only way you're going to be able to get tesamorelin. But those are the two, my two favorite. I mean, obviously there's other peptides that TaylorMade has, but I don't really like discussing, even though I love TaylorMade. I don't really like discussing them because depending on where you are in the country, there's a lot of legality issues. Like if you're in California, you can barely even get any of their peptides. It's such a sham.
Right.
Because California is the People's Republic of California run by demons. And obviously I live in California, so I can say that. But, you know, it's just really hard. Like obviously 5-Amino, which I wrote about today in my blog, which is on totrevolution.com, you know, big article about it, not it specifically, but there's a big section in there about 5-Amino. It's not technically a peptide. It's a small compound or small molecule is what it's really technically called. Mm-hmm. Does amazing things, but all, again, very hard to get. Now with all the looming shit that's in China and the, you know, the manufacturing supply chain disruption, probably even going to be harder to get. So I don't like talking about things that most people won't be able to get. But if you, you know, if everything gets back to normal and stuff, that's also an amazing peptide to use. It's an oral capsule. Does no issues with the liver. Doesn't have first pass issues. You can take it, you know, in the morning, fasted or with food, and you'll definitely notice like improved body composition. It does a lot of amazing things. Again, I would point people to read the blog today on TRT Revolution. It talks about all of its mechanisms of action and what it does, but it definitely increases muscle, lowers body fat, improves, definitely improves training intensity and improves endurance because it lowers lactic acid or suppresses lactic acid formation in a lot of different ways too. So it does amazing things. You can definitely train at a higher intensity with it and not suffer from delayed onset muscle soreness.
And you said that's in a capsule?
It's in a capsule. Yeah. It's called 5-Amino. Yep.
That's great. That sounds awesome.
Yeah. It's an amazing stuff. Amazing stuff.
Yeah, I use Ipamorelin with my patients, and they say that they like it. And, you know, back in the day, we were using all these other GH agonist peptides, and guys would get so hungry and eat like.
Oh, dude, those things are worthless. And they shut out, they blasted cortisol and massively, you know, increased prolactin. The side effects from those things are useless. I mean, you know, obviously, we're writing the book on peptides right now,
nice.
Which is taking a lot longer to get out because of all these other exciting things that are happening. But, you know, we've actually debated just not even writing about those because again, they're so useless in comparison to the newer, you know, more novel things. But the problem is as you know, that the majority of people on this planet right now are still using that bullshit, right? Because that's what research chemical companies sell them.
I get asked about tesamorelin a lot.
Oh my God, dude. I mean, that's probably what we should do. We should just hammer, you know, the peptides that are worthless. Tesamorelin is totally fucking worthless.
Yeah.
I know there are people out there that love it. And, you know, I've gotten into debates with Sean Norian, you know, who's a good friend of mine, the owner of Empower. And he's like, Jay, clinically, tesamorelin is the same as tesamorelin. And I'm like, okay, Sean, you know, theoretically, yes. But if you use both, you will know that they are not the same.
Right. Yeah, I mean, what I get into is with patients is it's a price thing, right? So they're like, well, I'll do tesamorelin and ipamorelin, and, you know, I'll talk to you and I'll talk to Ryan Smith at TaylorMade, and they'll say, well, you should do tesamorelin. It's one thing, and now it's going to be gone. So if those people are listening, too bad. We missed the train. But we talked about this last time, you know, and it's, you got to just jump on what I like. Let's use the minimal amount of things with the most effectiveness. So, you know, if tesamorelin was still in the ring, we could use that. But yeah, I don't use really tesamorelin unless we're using it with ipamorelin. And even then I'm trying to get people to use other things, but it's, you know, we got to work with people's pocketbooks on some level.
No, it's totally true, bro. But I always say this to people too. You're right, by the way. I don't want to get that out of the way, but at the end of the day, it's like, are you going to drive a BMW or drive a Toyota?
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's like you get what you pay for in life. And I know that, you know, things are not equitable and stuff, but there's always a trade-off. And the reality is like sermorelin is useless. I mean, I'll just be very, Jay Campbell and authentic and just say GHPR2, 2 and 6 are both worthless. I don't give a shit about how much growth hormone or IGF-1 they stimulate. They cause massive side effects. They definitely shut down the pituitaries. It's like using growth hormone. They both cause insulin resistance, heavy insulin resistance. If you're a fat motherfucker and you're using those two things, you are definitely going to be inflamed from them. And you are definitely going to have insulin resistance. And if you're, again, if you're, like I said, an FMF-er, it'll actually increase your metabolic disorder. It'll increase your insulin resistance. Because, dude,
That's absolutely dangerous.
But we know that using ipamorelin, and again, I have this from many clinicians, using ipamorelin and CGC1295 with or without DAC is so effective. It's similar to GH. So we know that GH causes insulin resistance when used long-term. And again, that's for guys who are ripped, right? Like I'm talking 55, 50, 60-year-old people with money who are affluent, sophisticated, who've been using a very low dose of growth hormone for decades of their life, and they have insulin resistance. And that is because of growth hormone's effectiveness of doing what it does, which is again, shutting down endogenous production of growth hormone. And then obviously your body becoming reliant on the external. And then it does create an inflammatory response, which will cause visceral fat in specific areas, especially sometimes around the organs, which then again, causes the IR, which leads to sometimes, early onset diabetes. Right. So it's like, I tell people all the time, if you're going to use peptides, you have to cycle them. You should not use any peptides that give a growth hormone, IGF-1 stimulation, agonistic response that's similar to growth hormone because of that risk. And then, let's not be stupid and leave out that using IGF-1 stimulating, peptides or growth hormone or any of those things does, again, not always, but does increase the risk of metastatic tumor formation. So what does that mean? It means that if you are prone to having cancer in your family, or you have, a cancer that's going to eventually, gestate and present in your 60s, using IGF-1 stims can definitely increase the rate of formation or the expression of said tumor so that it happens a lot earlier than what happened in your life. And again, I'm not saying that, Sam, to make people fearful, but I'm saying that to make people cognizant that you should never use anything that, and again, we're really getting into dosages here, but you should never increase your dosage of anything IGF-1 stimulating, in my opinion, over 2.5 IUs, which is obviously growth hormone, or, if we're going to use peptide dosages, you should not be doing anything over 300 micrograms. Because again, that's when you're going to be, mimicking and causing an IGF-1 surge that could potentially cause issues. And again, I'm not saying it will, and I'm not saying that even in a percentage wise of how many people it would, but I've just seen the research. And I do know that if you are prone to any kind of tumors coming, you could definitely, increase the rate or the expression of the tumor.
Right. And that's good. I mean, that's informed consent, and we don't go over those dosages. And usually like with ipamorelin, we're doing it fasted before bed and then 5 days a week and then 2 nights off, usually weekends. And then the patient runs out and then they forget to contact me and then we reorder a month or two later. So in a sense, that's what you mean for the listener by cycling, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Good. I'm glad you brought that up. So yes. So for fat loss, again, obviously multiple applications, but for fat loss, depending on a person's condition, you should not do peptides for more than 10 weeks. If you're attempting to build muscle and then obviously take off, half to longer of the same time before you start back up again. For muscle gain, I always tell people they can go a little bit longer because obviously they're going to be eating more, right? So for people that are ectomorphic or skinny fat and they really struggle to eat, they're going to need longer terms. But, one thing to talk about with peptides that very few people ever talk about, and again, why it's so important to cycle off. And that is, and you know this, Sam, but people will get antibody formation and buildup. And when you get antibody formation and buildup, which is, again, the body's cellular response to dealing with this exogenous peptide being injected, they will literally, for the most part, shut down the effectiveness. So let's say, what does that mean for somebody that doesn't understand science? It means that when you start using TESA or IPA, and the first 4 weeks you feel amazing and you get fat loss and you sleep better and all these things, by week 6 or week 7, you probably are going to start noticing a lesser response, right? So by the time you get to week 10, your body has now built up antibodies that are basically saying, because again, remember the human body is very homeostatic. It's very getting back to self-regulating. And when it senses that it, you know, the body isn't changing, it isn't becoming dynamic anymore, it will shut down certain things. And so that's why peptides, again, for the most part, need to be cycled, because you don't want your body to build up an antibody response to them. And I've seen this many, many times where people are, you know, using low dose growth hormone or low dose tesamorelin, and they're going like 16 to 20 weeks, and they'll reach out to me and they'll be like, dude, it doesn't work anymore. And I'm like, motherfucker, you literally don't have a clinical reactive response anymore, because your body has so many antibodies built up to block the, you know, chemical cascade that was originally causing response. So now you don't have that because you have antibodies. So, well, how do I get rid of the antibody? Well, you shut it down, dude. You got to stop. You know, you got to give it an equal amount of time so that your body will build up a response so that you, you know, clear out the receptors. And again, a lot of people, dude, as you know, they oversaturate the receptors by using what they call, you know, super saturation doses or boom dosages or all the bullshit bro science. And then before they know it, they're like, it doesn't work for me anymore, bro.
Right. Yeah, that's just, now you're playing with fire there. Well, with that said, so when you say take a break, do you mean 10 weeks on, 10 weeks off, or do you mean 10 weeks on, 1 to 2 months off?
It's a good question, and I don't think there's a real answer. I think everybody has to experiment. I personally, so, okay, it's, you know what, never given this, so it's perfect. By the way, dude, this podcast is gold.
I agree.
After, so I use peptides once or twice a year. I'm using peptides right now. I always use peptides in November. I mean, in January and February, because I, you know, I put on a little bit of belly fat, you know, midsection weight from eating unrestrained after Thanksgiving to the end of the year. I always do that. You know, there's too much stuff going on. I don't care. I'm not that Spartan, you know, all year round. So I use peptides like Tessa, which is what I'm using now. And I've been using 5-Amino too. And that's about to run out, and there ain't more coming again because of China. So, but I'll use them for like usually like 8 to 10 weeks, right? And then, dude, that's it, right? And another thing people don't recognize with peptides, which is important, is that peptides cause intracellular water retention, right? So it's like, hello, you cannot like expect to be shredded, even though they may shred you, without withdrawing or cessating your cycle, you know, for at least 10 to 14 days for the intercellular water to evaporate or just dry, you know, dry out of you. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people will use peptides and they'll be like, bro, it doesn't work. I'm fucking bloated. I'm like, no, dumbass, you're holding water from the peptides. That's the mechanism of action. It's pulling water into the cells. It's lubricating. It's improving your training capacity. Again, all these other things that it does, your glycogen restoration and your retention, but it's also because it's holding intracellular water. So you got to give yourself time. That's why I always tell people, if they're doing a, you know, a bodybuilding competition or a physique competition or even a photo shoot, or they just want to look good beach naked with their wives, you know, on an exotic trip, you got to give yourself 10 to 14 days of peptide cessation so that that water, again, it's intracellular water, will evaporate or dry out. You know, because if you don't, you'll be holding water. And a lot of people, and again, obviously, as you know, diet determines a lot of things. If you're eating a high carbohydrate diet, drinking too much alcohol, eating too much sugar, you're going to hold more water than you normally should. Now, again, most people that are doing peptides are not, but, you know, I always say that as a caveat. But, you know, it's very important to recognize that peptides are a very good tool, a very good adjunct to, again, a testosterone and thyroid optimized human being, but they're not the be all end all. They're not magical. If you're a fat motherfucker, you know, 25% body fat or higher, using peptides is a fucking waste. You're going to do nothing. Right. If you're 15% body fat and you want to get lean, you know, you want to see some abs, or you want to get down to like 10, 12% body fat, then it's the greatest tool ever.
Right.
It easily can lower yourself 3, 4, or 5%, you know, in 10 to 12 weeks. But if you're a giant fat person and you think that, you know, I listened to Jay Campbell and he talked about tesamorelin and he says it melts belly fat, I want to use it. No, dude. How long did it take your fat ass to get to 25, 30% body fat? Well,
right.
That's how long it's going to take you to get to a place where you're going to see that that belly fat is melted. So again, you know, all things to all people.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, usually I try to tell people, if it took you 10 years to get sick, for example, it takes you, if you're aggressive, it'll take you 5 years to get.
Exactly. And you, and some people can go faster, Sam. They listen to us. Right. They really get, you know, they really apply it. But yeah, dude, I mean, let's be honest. It takes a long time.
Yeah, it takes time. Well, on that note, I know you have to get going soon, so I want to be respectful of your time. And thank you so much for being a guest on my show. You shared a lot of great information, a lot of top secret information, and I'm eternally grateful. Everybody, you can find Jay Campbell online at totrevolution.com and a bunch of other websites, fabfitover40.com, etc. Instagram at jcampbell333. YouTube, TO2 Revolution, must watch podcasts and to listen to podcasts on all the platforms. And Facebook, is it still TO2 Revolution on Facebook as well?
Yeah, so actually, I'm glad you said all that. So so actually, YouTube has changed now. So I am, you know, okay. perfect segue. I am, as you know this already, but I am transitioning the TO2 Revolution brand to my name. As you know, obviously I'm moving away to talk more about spirituality and to talk more about biohacking and stuff that, you know, so I'm not like pigeonholed into the testosterone guy anymore, but the YouTube channel now is just Jay Campbell. Or actually it is. It's Jay Campbell. Everything is going to be Jay Campbell 333 because somebody stole my name. So, and then my new website, because somebody's also cyber squatting on Jay Campbell, is going to be jccampbell.com. You just know, Sam, that if I get any bigger, somebody's going to come to me one day and say, "Hey man, for 10 grand, I'll sell you your website back."
Right. Ridiculous. That is hilarious.
Exactly, man.
Yeah.
But dude, I appreciate you having me on, dude. Honestly, this has been an epic podcast. We talked about a lot of really very deep and high level things. And I think there's a lot of value to this.
I agree. Yeah. Thanks so much. I want to have you on again. We can get more into the spirituality stuff in your new book, which is that coming out the end of this year?
It should. And yeah, dude, me and you will go really, really deep because that was one of the main reasons that attracted me to you. I mean, obviously you're a smart doctor, but there's a lot of those guys out there, but like the spiritual stuff. Yeah, dude, have me back and we'll go really, really deep on that. But my hope is my spirituality book is going to be called Energy and Frequency, The Keys to Spiritual Awareness. And I pretty much in my mind know exactly what I'm going to write, but I have about, you know, 1500 words down in my Google document. So I have to, you know, really apply myself and put my mind to it. But obviously, as you know, with my other companies and stuff, they're all really doing really well and blowing up right now. So it's just like, I'm really strapped for time. And I, you know, at the end of the day, I'm still a dad and a husband. Right. So I have to, you know, have to focus on that stuff too. But dude, again, profound podcast. Deeply grateful for you having me on, and I can't wait till this break so we can share it with the world.
Likewise, it will be shared with everybody we can, and everybody, please do share with friends and family. People are suffering out there; they need community, they need to be optimized, and we look forward to having you again in the future, Jay. And have a great day, everyone. Until next time.
Now, here's for my mandatory disclaimer: this is a medical information podcast and is only for general information purposes. It does not substitute or constitute the practice of medicine or any medical practices, including the giving of medical advice to any individual. And please observe that no doctor-patient relationship has been formed here. This medical podcast offers health, hormone, fitness, and nutrition information and is designed for educational purposes only. You should not rely on this information as a substitution for, nor does it replace professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. If you have any concerns or questions about your health, you should always consult with a physician or other healthcare professional. Do not disregard, avoid, or delay obtaining medical or health-related advice and appropriate treatment from your healthcare professional. Users should seek the care of their physician or healthcare professional for any such conditions. The use of any information provided on this podcast is solely at your own risk. The contents and topics of this podcast have not been evaluated by the FDA nor approved by any other government or official body. The topics and content covered is not intended to diagnose, cure, or prevent any disease or disorder of any kind. Developments in medical research may impact the health, fitness, and nutritional advice that appears here on the podcast in the future episodes. No assurance can be given that the advice contained in this podcast will always include the most recent findings or developments in medicine with respect to the particular material covered. If you are in the United States and think you are having a medical or health emergency, call your healthcare professional or 911 immediately. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to hearing your feedback and looking forward to have you on future podcasts. Thank you.